Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about a man whose work has been a strong influence in my shift in consciousness over the years. His pen name was Yukio Mishima. He was an acclaimed Japanese novelist and poet, and considered by many to be one of the most important literary voices of the 20th century. On November 25th, 1970, Yukio and four of his followers, armed with samurai swords, barricaded themselves in the office of Japan's self-defense forces. Here, Mishima addressed 1,000 servicemen from the balcony outside and demanded these men stand with him against what he saw as a spiritually fallen society. In essence, he asked these men to help him to re-establish the spiritual foundation of ancient Japan. But he was derided by these men, and he then returned to the office, knelt down on the floor, and committed the act of seppuku, piercing his stomach violently with a sword, while his followers beheaded him with a samurai sword, completing the act. And in his address to the troops outside, he stated, "Japanese people today think only of money. This nation has no spiritual foundation. I salute the emperor. Long live the emperor." But the emperor he spoke of was a romanticized ideal of tradition's past, not the current emperor. And like everything in Mishima's life, his words and his actions were rehearsed. In his final act, in many ways, the command performance. In Mishima, he was a man of many contradictions, and his writing and his everyday life reflected that. He was a man literally at war within himself. In Yukio, he wrote, "The past does not only draw us back to the past. Rather, these memories propel us into the future." His childhood was one where he was sheltered from the outside world, and he was also the victim of abuse from his caretaker, his grandmother, Natsuko. And she wouldn't allow him to engage with other boys, so he spent most of his time either alone with his grandmother or with his female cousins. And Natsuko, she was paranoid of other people and of her own family, and she projected that onto him. Mishima, he makes mentions of this in his writing. In these formative years, they haunted him for the rest of his life. He went to live with his parents at the age of 12, and his father, he was a very strict disciplinarian that sought to harden him. He felt Mishima had been raised too soft and wanted his son to follow in his footsteps into the military. Mishima, he noted many occasions when his father would storm into his room and tear up his writings, saying that only homosexuals would engage in such behavior. And he'd task him too, he'd bully him, he'd goad him, in an effort to get him to man up. Also, his school years, they were very harsh. He was a weak child. He was constantly bullied due to his physical size and for having a stutter, and due to his love for literature. And in turn, this would lead to an obsession with masculinity and huge emotional turmoil. And he'd wrestle with that within a post-war culture that essentially repressed masculinity while eroding Japanese tradition. And his stance was that the feminine tradition had been emphasized to the exclusion of masculine, that Japan wanted to cover their conscience. The government wanted to cover their masculine tradition from the eyes of foreigners and portray themselves as humble, gentle people to the West. But shortly before he killed himself, he stated that Japan had been stunted by Westernization, and that Japanese tradition was the key to a strong character and identity as a man. And that as a result, Japan had adopted mental disease and shame from the West. And when you look at Japanese society today, he was right. And yet, the contradiction is, this was a man that lived like a Westerner for most of his adult life. But for all his comforts and his success as a writer, the void remained. The voices of his father and his grandmother still haunted him. And Mishima's work, it deals with themes of purity, beauty, and sexuality, along with a constant morbid focus on death and sexuality mixed with sadomasochism. His characters, they all yearn to destroy themselves. Their passions and their turmoil were that great. He wrote in his first novel, Confessions of a Mask, "I cried until those visions reeking with blood came to comfort me. And then I surrendered myself to my most intimate friends." So his writing, it broke new ground and was charged with sex and violence and death, politics, philosophy, and very real deep yearnings. And the imagery he evoked through his words, they were incredibly visceral. And masculinity was always the driving force in his work. And it's interesting, Mishima, he writes of having seen a painting when he was a boy of Saint Sebastian pierced with an arrow, dying as a martyr in the name of Christianity. And Mishima wrote that this image had a profound effect on him. It symbolized the mixing of pleasure and pain and a desire for martyrdom. And in many ways, the course was set from that moment. And before I read any of his work, I'd actually seen a picture of Mishima posing as Saint Sebastian in the exact same way, his stomach pierced with an arrow. And it spoke to me. I saw a man in the form of a martyr being persecuted for his strength. And Mishima, of course, he was a very astute man. He loved to court controversy, and he knew exactly how to market himself. So photos of him posing like the Japanese Frank Sinatra, and also as a samurai warrior, that made big impressions on Westerners. And he wanted to tap that market, and he wanted to be taken seriously by Western critics. In Yoko, he said he wanted to make a poem of his life, and that all his life he'd been aware of a contradiction in the nature of his existence. And the more he wrote, the more he realized words were not enough. So he sought a new form of expression, one where death and sexual obsession, beauty and purity intermixed. And it was here when Yukio decided to transform his physique through a very strict bodybuilding regimen. And the sick weakly child now wanted attention and respect on a global scale. But inside, he still wrestled with his demons. His novels, they dealt with characters struggling to deal with sexual issues, with desires, with issues around beauty. And the theme that runs through much of Mishima's work is beauty leading to destruction. And Yukio wrote, "I wanted to explode, light the sky for an instant and then disappear." So his characters, they reflected his inner turmoil and would self-destruct or act out. And many were politically motivated. In his novel, Runaway Horses, the lead character, he murders a capitalist and then commits seppuku. And the final line reads, "The instant the blade tore open his flesh, the bright disc of the sun soared up and exploded behind his eyelids." So his characters, they sought purpose and sought to make a grand political statement, even though their actions were ultimately futile and their motives confused and disjointed. It was around this time that Yukio's political leanings, they became increasingly right-wing. At the same time as he became disillusioned with his writing. And through his torment, he sought to merge art and action with a merging of body and spirit. And it was now when he funded the Shield Society. It was a private militia. It was essentially a spiritual army dedicated to the ethics of Bushido. And the young men that made up this militia that were from the local university, young men who were disillusioned with Japanese politics and Japanese society. Yukio, he saw the signing of the Treaty of Mutual Cooperation between the US and Japan, as essentially reducing Japan to a subordinate of the United States. He saw it as an insult to Japan's independence and felt it showed a distinct lack of respect to Japanese history. And Yukio, he was hated by the right and the left, and his political stance, it was mocked, as it was shaped by romantic ideals, and he also tended to contradict himself. But what was being bled out onto the page was now being bled out into reality. And just as his characters sought purpose and meaning, so did he. And in later years, Bushido had heavily influenced his thinking. He'd seen it firsthand, how it benefited pre-war Japan, and how it instilled into population a strong sense of nationalism and pride. So he longed for an antiquated ideal, people living a life based on honour and integrity. But inherently, he knew that morality and honour had no place in a capitalist society. So these notions that were idealised, even in a historical sense, as a samurai, that although they were often loyal, they were noted for abusing their positions quite regularly, and for betraying their communities and the leaders. And the belief that samurai were staunchly heterosexual and devoutly masculine is false. Now, homosexuality was practiced between samurai. It was a nanshoku, the love of the samurai. The emotional and sexual bond between older samurai and their apprentices was seen as vital. In Yukio, he struggled with his homosexuality and his masculinity. Now, he was married to a woman, they had two children. So some suggest Bushido was a way for him to come to terms with his sexuality. His apprentice and his rumored lover, Morita, was the man he asked to decapitate him during the failed coup. It was seen by some as a lover's pact. Wakashudu, the way of the youth. And all samurai practiced it. Yet it seemed that his sexuality was something he could never reconcile, whether in a modern context or through the traditions of the past. His father's voice still echoed in his thoughts. In Mishima, he took up kendo, the way of the sword. And he had an obsession with beauty and the body. And in interviews, Yukio said publicly that when samurai commit harakiri, they would paint their faces in order to stay beautiful, even in death. So he wanted to live the way of the warrior. He is quoted as saying, "We live in an age where there is no heroic death." So Yukio, he rebelled against the erosion of masculine ideals and their repression, because he saw what this had reduced Western society to, with their obsession with greed. And the salarymen, the worker drones, they came to define post-war Japan, right up until recently, with the Japanese herbivore men now threatened to undermine the economy, as the Japanese media has reported. I mean, you recall the millions of boys that wouldn't come out of their rooms in the 90s. Well, now they've come out, and they've decided that being a worker drone doesn't appeal. So the current situation is due directly to Western influence. And Yuki, he predicted this. A self-directed purpose and freedom is vital to men. And so is the embracing and celebration of masculine ideals. And Japanese men today define their own purpose and won't be dictated to. Of course, this is a natural reflex to the systematic bias, exploitation, and hatred that's been directed at men for decades. Now, masculinity and masculine tradition was derided and marginalized for the sake of corporate greed. But for Japanese men now, life isn't about conforming, it's about choice. Even if that has severe repercussions to the economy, so be it. So Yukio, he was an individualist, even though he embraced an ideal of Bushido in service to the emperor. He followed his own course, while giving voice to the moral and societal decay all around him. He spent his whole life searching for his identity. The only way he could find that identity was through expression of his own turmoil, essentially a masculinity in crisis. And his death was a statement, art merging with reality, but also that the male spirit would not be repressed. This masculine spirit, it's been edged out in today's society, but men are starting to reclaim it and define it by their own terms. Anyway, that's all the time I have for tonight, but I want to thank you for your time and keep on trucking. Thank you.